How's it going?
I'm good. How are you?
It has been a while.
Yeah, no kidding. At the last Social Media Marketing World, I saw you in passing, but you know, there were too many people around, so I couldn't swing by and say hi. But
Social Media Marketing World is pretty crazy.
Yeah, it definitely is. I mean, it's getting bigger and bigger. Last year, I think, was close to 5,000 or maybe over 5,000 people, somewhere around there.
Yeah, Content Marketing World Inbound. I've never been to either of those, but I assume they're pretty much the same.
Yeah.
So, Social Media Marketing World's turned into a funny beast. It used to be a lot more, intimate.
Yeah. Yeah. As people have really gotten used to the fact that social media is not just a channel, it's moving from way off to the side to really the center of a lot of people's efforts, especially when marketing not only themselves, but their businesses, their services, and any side hustles they might have going on. Social's the place to be. And, if you're talking social media, Social Media Marketing World's probably one of the best places to learn a whole lot about it. I certainly have.
Yeah, they're really, there used to be something called Blog World. There have been like different conferences over the years, but really outside of Social Media Marketing World, they just don't exist. There's a lot of niche ones out there. I mean, you got Social Media Week and stuff, but yeah, that pretty much is the place. Between that and Content Marketing World, you got yourself covered pretty much. Just go to each one of those once a year.
Yeah, well, exactly. I've never been to Content Marketing World, but I might check that out.
They just announced a call for speakers, so I'm on their email list. I've never submitted. I'm always too lazy to submit to these places, but if you're interested, I could, let's see here. I just got this literally November 6th. Our deadline is December 20th. So they close, Social Media Marketing World might add people like between now and, is it end of February this year or next year?
The 1st of March, 1st, 2nd, 3rd of March, I think.
Right. So they may end up adding people. I know they just added a keynote, but Content Marketing World, they have so many speakers. It's just, 9 months in advance.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and I want to get into talking about not only who I'm talking to, but what you do and how you do it and all that stuff. But I want to tell you a little bit of a story to the listeners out there anyway, because Neil didn't know me and I didn't know Neil from Adam until I worked on a book with Spencer X. Smith called Rotoma, the ROI of Social Media Top of Mind. And it turns out that Spencer is on the same mini MBA at Rutgers University that you are a member of. Do I have that right?
Yeah. So it's called Social Selling in a Digital World. You can call it a mini social selling MBA. It's the first, executive MBA or executive education in social selling that we know about. And I've been teaching at Rutgers Business School for maybe 7 or 8 years. And they reached out to me saying, Neil, what do you think, what don't we have in terms of our curriculum? I said, social selling is sort of a huge thing. If you have a sales department, you need social selling. So they agreed to create the curriculum together. So I was actually the lead instructor, and I went out on LinkedIn saying, hey, I want to recruit, top thought leaders in social selling for this course. So, name me some names. And Spencer's a name that came up by quite a few people. So I interviewed him, and he was a perfect fit and invited him to join. And it's funny because I think, was it shortly after we met for the first time at Rutgers or shortly before it, Dream Bank actually invited me to speak in Madison.
That's right.
So yeah, just over the course of I'd never really known him. And over the course of a few weeks, we all of a sudden saw each other twice. So.
Well, exactly. And that's the way social media works. It's really hard to tell where carbon-based social media turns into silicon-based social media or when it's not all one thing. And I think that's frankly a really important thing, that social media with kind of the SM moniker tied to it has been considered like this other thing. And I just want to scream at people and say, it's not anything different. It's slightly different in the way you do it, certainly, but nothing is ever going to replace face-to-face.
Are we already recording this, as I assume we are?
Oh, yeah, we are. Well, I just roll into stuff, man. That's awesome. I roll.
No. And it's funny because, I do a lot of work in Japan, obviously. So we call that 2D and 3D, right? 3D is when you actually meet someone in reality, but people are very much in the 2D world these days. What's really interesting is I am in the midst, my pet project over the last week or two has been moving email softwares. So getting more advanced in marketing automation. But getting more advanced in marketing automation gives me the ability to sort of see when people click on something and go to a website, sort of cookie them and see where they're located.
Yeah.
So if I'm going on a business trip to London, I can reach out to the people on my list that are in London. But what it also does is give me the ability to do social scoring. So click on a link, go to my website, and you get points. And when you get to a certain threshold, I get an email. So yesterday I get two emails, right? And I don't, you know, if you're doing, whether it's anything in digital, right, it's just an email address. But I actually did a Google search for these email addresses. And if there's any email address, if you Google, you're going to find something, right?
Right.
So, you know, one person is actually a two-time Latin Grammy Award winner in Mexico.
Oh, my God.
The other is a photographer out of Cairo, Egypt, right?
Yeah.
And it's just, we forget about, now, sometimes we don't have the ability to meet in person like we did, right?
Right.
But even if we can't, there is a connection we can make when we have more of that information, if we have the right tools, but also what do we do with the information when we have that? How do we engage them, right? How do we reach out? How do we take that relationship to the next level? How do we know who might be a little bit more influential of a follower, of an email subscriber than another, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So I think in marketing, it really does come back to that human connection. And what's been hard for older marketers that they struggle with is that social is bringing them into the conversation, whether they like it or not, right?
Right.
And it's almost like, you know, when I brought this up with my client yesterday, I'm like, you can be doing the same thing and actually proactively reaching out to people on your list, maybe saying, hey, here's a 20% discount, or here's a one-time, or whatever it is, right? It's really amazing what technology, I don't think it's made us colder. It's given us the ability to have warmer relationships with people. Should we have the right technology and the right mindset and the right process applies?
Well, I think that's really important, that combination of technology and mindset, because I've seen a lot of people embrace the technology without the mindset, you know, like, and again, I'm going to point to my friend Spencer, who's a salesman through and through. Yeah. So shout out to Spencer X. Smith. Why does he have an X in his name? To be unique. You know, his middle name. It is the X factor, and his middle name is Xavier. So he's being true, but he's also being a little bit unique. But one of the things I really learned from him, and one of the things people should understand, that I come from a creative side, or the creative side of the fence. You know, if I like to play with words and pictures and colors and type and things like that. And so it's not that I have a allergy to sales, but that's not my native language, right? Sure. When I started working with Spencer, he was literally giving me a mini masterclass on high-level sales, you know, like how to do it, but in a very personal way. And let me tell you, he was selling stuff that, frankly, not a lot of people want to buy, which is financial services. It's like, oh man, not another one of you guys. But he found a way to leverage social media to get past a lot of those barriers. And a lot of that was kind of the, hey, I saw that you are interested in X. Let's talk about X. And then I don't even talk about what I'm selling until we've built a rapport. And I see your head nodding there. And it sounds like you're a big proponent of that. And I'm going to put it back in your words, the technology and the mindset. That mindset of let's make a human connection first before we optimize our funnel connections all the way down.
Yeah, I say, you know, new tools, old rules, right? When I talk to salespeople. So the older you are, the more experienced you are, actually the easier it is for you to have the right mindset to leverage new tools, because the old rules of etiquette, person-to-person communication, have not been lost. They've evolved, but we need to use the new tools wisely. And those that do use it wisely do very well, like Spencer. And those that don't, they get reported on LinkedIn, they get blocked, and so on and so on. So it's really interesting, you know, and it's something that, as a marketer, I think we all struggle with, because there's one particular podcast. I've become a huge podcast listener. I'll be totally honest. And I recorded a podcast about this a few weeks ago. I was never a subscriber to podcasts. I was never a consumer of podcasts. But as a marketer, I felt the need, and because I speak a lot, it's easy content for me to create. I felt the need to have a podcast, right?
Right.
So I recorded, you know, 135 episodes without ever really listening to other people's podcasts.
Oh, wow.
Which might be shocking, right? And after I started, I realized that on my car drive, so I have a client that I spend 4 hours a week at. It's about a 45-minute drive each way. And then my parents are 93 and 92, still healthy, knock on wood. I try to see them once a week, and it's about an hour and 15 minutes each way.
Yeah.
So every week there's like, instead of listening to Spotify and music, I started listening to podcasts. I just went to Apple Podcast app and I did a search for Instagram marketing, influencer marketing, blogging, what have you. And I listened to like the very first episodes and I found, I don't know, I need to write a blog post. I'm promising people like the 10 podcasts that I'm listening to, and regularly whenever they have an update, I'm on it. And I've listened to the most recent 100 episodes of like all 10 of these, right? And that's when I realized, wow, I've been doing it all wrong. And I recorded this in a podcast just a few weeks ago. And I mean, the message here, I want to get onto what I really want. One of the messages here is you have to be in the game to understand it.
Yeah.
If you really want to do well at Instagram, you have to have a personal, you got to be networking, you got to use it as a user would use, right?
Exactly.
And this is where I think most people struggle with social, is they're not users themselves. They just look at them as tools, like I did with podcasting, not realizing that I was making, and I'm still sort of trying to up my game as I listen to more and more podcasts, but it's like everything else in social media. As I like to say, it's muscle memory. The more you do it, the better you get at it. But with the podcasting, I'm listening to one gentleman. He's called the Blog Millionaire, Brandon Gailey. He has a wonderful podcast and an amazing life story, right? I never heard of the guy until I started listening to his podcast. And now I realize he's sort of a big player. And this speaks to these tribes we have. Some people are just on Twitter, some people are on Instagram. Our kids are being influenced by YouTubers we've never heard of. And we're all finding with social media, digital media, these unique channels, unique people to influence us. But Brandon's a really interesting guy, very tactical, has over 1 million views monthly to his blog, which is now up to 2 million views. And he has a system, right? He's like, here's my Twitter system. And he pretty much does the same for Instagram. It's to, you know, follow relevant people. When they follow you back, send them a direct message. Hey, what's the URL? Maybe you receive one of these because I know I have. What's the URL of your website? Like to give you some advice or whatever it is, right? But it's automated. And he says, you know, for every 50 direct messages he sends, he gets like 25 complaints. And they're not automated because he's manually sending them after someone follows them. But he gets all this flack. And yeah, he goes, well, what is it? So it's really interesting, right? What is the difference between a Twitter automated message and when you sign up to an email list, you get a welcome email that's been automated? It's the same thing. Why do we accept it as a marketer as an email, but we don't on Twitter? And he goes, by the way, the fact that all these people are getting back to me shows me that they are reading their messages, right?
Right.
As a marketer. So, but it's not personalized. I mean, I don't think that's the way you create relationships. It can't be the same message to 100 different people. And even if you slightly customize it, you're going in, it's just too obvious that you're going in with that objective of you want to sell them something. And we get these all the time on LinkedIn with message requests. We get them on Twitter and Instagram as well. So that very savvy way, getting back to what you talked about at the very beginning, it's about relationships. It's about wanting to genuinely develop relationships with people. And from that, they might not become a customer. They might become a friend. They might become a partner. They might be someone that you go out to a pub with to have a pint, right? It's, you know, the more people that we meet in life, generally the more enriching our life is going to be, the more we learn, the more socialized we'll have you. So it's really having that mindset and not just, if you're going for the sale, I think people can read through it now. Maybe 5 years ago, this stuff worked better on a Twitter, on Instagram. So I think there are some transactional relationships, but when you start by serving others, helping others, wanting to become their friend, and you're genuine, I think over time it does show. And I think those people become really successful at sales, obviously. But you can be at whatever you're trying to do, your side hustle, trying to yield more influence and source, whatever it is, there are definitely benefits to that. So I know that was a roundabout response, but like with everything else, there's always like interesting little intersections of thoughts that I have that sort of weaved its way into that story.
This episode of the Nonfiction Brand Podcast is brought to you by Nonfiction Brandversity. It's a free Facebook group dedicated to the art and craft of personal branding. And we'd like to invite you. Just search Nonfiction Brandversity on Facebook and ask to join. You're in, guaranteed. I can't wait to see you on campus.
Listeners, you're getting a really great mind mental map of who Neil Schaefer is. And by the way, I have to ask you this. Is it a Schaefer or an A Schaefer?
Okay. There's only one right way to spell Schaefer. Okay. Let's take a step back from Schaefer, Neil. There's only one Neil. It's the real Neil.
That's right.
N-E-A-L. Then when we get to Schaefer, it's Schaefer. And there's only one way to spell it. So there's a dude out there called Mark. He totally gets it wrong on the spelling. And we're not related. We call each other cousins in social media. But only one way to spell it. Only one way to say it. S-C-H-A-F-F-R, Schaefer.
And listeners of the Nonfiction Podcast who are regulars will recognize he's talking about Mark Schaefer, the incredible author of his most recent book, Marketing Rebellion. And by the way, I hate to say it, Neil, He was just on maybe about 4 weeks ago by the time this one airs. But that doesn't mean that we don't have a ton to talk about, because I've been following you for at least 2+ years. And I want to back up to when I first kind of hopped on the Neil train, when you were actively, yeah, exactly. Get on board, everybody, because we're on the fast track.
Fasten your seatbelts.
That's right. We're on the fast track to marketing madness with Neil Schaefer. But I want to talk about 2 years now, you actively went from Maximize Your Social to neilschaefer.com. And I remember some blog posts where you're talking about how you're doing some rebranding for yourself. I am selfishly wanting to tap your brain on that, because I have myself struggled with, is Nonfiction Brand my platform and then I'm the person on that platform, or should I be really concentrating on DP Knewton? Should I be focusing on my dpknewton.com versus nonfictionbrand.com? What was your thinking from going from Maximize Your Social to neilschaefer.com?
And there were other brands. There was a brand called Maximize Social Business that I had.
Yeah.
There was another brand called Windmill Networking that I had. So when I started my blog in 2008, I did it through LinkedIn. LinkedIn used to have a WordPress app, for those that remember. I'm really dating myself here. And the name of the blog was Your Expert Answers to Your LinkedIn Questions. And it was very focused on LinkedIn. And it was pretty much a Q&A. I got all these questions. And so blogging was my outlet to answer and really to network with the world. When I came out with my first book, this is 2009 now, Windmill Networking, Understanding Leveraging and Maximizing LinkedIn, I realized I needed to create a brand. I needed to create something bigger than who I was. And that was my thought. That's where I created Windmill Networking. I thought that encompassed a lot of who I was. Now, at that time, I was sort of in transition and I was not really thinking about making this a business, right? So networking and windmill, it's like, is this like an MLM business or, you know, networking? Or, you know, it wasn't really a good business URL to have. So when I came out in 2000, well, it was shortly after that, but in 2011, I came out with Maximizing LinkedIn for Sales and Social Media Marketing. So now this is a business book. And with that, I took Windmill Networking and I put it over to MaximizeSocialBusiness.com. So that became, and I also started to accept guest bloggers, which I never had before. So Maximize Social Business really encompassed, at the time I was doing a lot of social media strategy consulting, and it wasn't just marketing. It was customer service, it was sales, it was IT. It was, you know, it encompassed this whole idea that, you know, social media should be everybody's medium. It's not just something that marketing owns. I was very passionate about that. So that was Maximize Social Business. You know, social business was a sort of a keyword at the time. I had still had the social in there. And then I came out with Maximize Your Social in 2013. So I get a deal with Wiley. You know, they do all the dummies books. This is it. This is the brand going forward. This is my platform book. This is the platform brand, Maximize Your Social. So at that time, I took my personal sections from Maximize Social Business and moved them over to Maximize Your Social. So my speaking consulting and my podcast would be on Maximize Your Social. And then my blog and everyone else's blog would be on Maximize Social Business. Really bad for SEO, for Maximize Your Social, no blog content, but I thought it was the right thing to do to sort of separate the two, to make a media site out of Maximize Social Business and then a business site out of Maximize Your Social. So, you know, fast forward to 2018, 2019, I'm trying to manage two different URLs, right? Trying to manage two different blogs, two different branding, two different Twitter channels, two different Instagram channels. And I realized that, you know, and as soon as I think it was like 2017, I got really serious about SEO and I realized, wow, I am literally competing against myself in so many keywords here. It is just crazy. I need to unify. And I was writing my next book, which finally comes out in March of 2020 with HarperCollins, The Age of Influence. So now it's you know, I'm talking about influencer marketing. So it's not just Maximize Your Social anymore. And social business as a keyword wasn't as hot as it was maybe 5 years ago. Who knows if we'll even be using the term social media 5 or 10 years from now. I don't know, right? But it's all evolving. So I'm like, you know what? The best brand that I can have. And as it's funny because I did this, I started the process in 2018 because I realized as I was writing my book on influencer marketing, and part of that book is also how can you yield more influence, right? As a person or as a business. I realized that at the end of the day, what drives influencer marketing is that people resonate with other people. People resonate with people more than they do brands, more than they do logos, more than they do CEOs or PR agencies, what have you. It comes down to the person. And the algorithms in social media are the exact same. That's why influencers can become influential, because the algorithms favor people over businesses. So at the end of the day, I believe that the more human you are, right, the more emotional, the more human aspects you have in your marketing, you're going to be all the more successful. Now, in marketing, we've been talking about this for like a decade. Oh, brands need to be more human. Brands need to be bigger, better storytellers. But guess what? They're not going to be human, and they're not storytellers. They're there to make money, right? They're corporations. But people are different, right? People, I will inherently believe a person, even if he's there to make money, right? It's still going to engage with me, and they're better storytellers. And I give examples when I speak in influencer marketing of some influencer campaigns where people were just sent swag, you know, to represent a new Chinese airline that has new nonstop service between, you know, Xiamen, China and LA, San Francisco, Denver on 787s, and telling these stories and they were sent swag because I was part of this campaign. And just using swag and being able to tell these incredible stories that just marketers, I mean, maybe some creative agencies might be able to compete. But at the end of the day, it goes back to what Disneyland said when they opened their Instagram account, which is we can never compete with the authenticity and the experiences and the creativity of users in social media, right? And that's why, you know, you have more brands leveraging what we call user-generated content. They're trying to leverage, instead of humanizing themselves, why not just reuse other people's content, right? That are fans of us and what have you. So that's where, as I was writing, I'm like, wow, I need to be neilschaefer.com, and everything needs to be unified. And I need to show my face more. I need to do more video. I need to let the human aspect of me shine, because that's what's going to be memorable. That's what's going to build brand in my case. And therefore, while everybody else is, you know, posting pictures of what they had for breakfast or just dropping links, I really want to be out there. And I think the more I'm out there with my face in the visual world, I think I'm going to benefit from that. I think more people get to know me. And when they get to know me, they're going to get to know me better. So that is what really drove me to say, you know what, I'm closing. And it's funny, because as I move email marketing softwares, I'm going to lose access to my analytics from my old software. So I'm going through, and I just went through those emails where I said, you know, hey, Maximize Social Business is moving to neilschaefer.com. And it was a pain in the butt because I had like 1,600 blog posts. And this is part of my SEO effort, was really to pare that down for many reasons. So I had a lot of 301 redirects to make, a lot of internal links to clean up. It was crazy, right? But I knew, this is what I love about some things about marketing. I knew that the more time I invested then, it's going to help me for years to come. And like moving email software now, I never properly tag people. So I'm going back into links that people click and tagging them based on their interests. I spent the last week doing this, but I know that now that I have it, moving forward, I'm going to be that much more effective with everything I do, right? So it was a bitter pill to swallow, but I knew going forward, it would be simple. It would just be me. And therefore, you know, I had one of my contributors named Holly Chessman. She goes, Neil, I tell people I write for Maximize Social Business. They've never heard of it. But when I say I write for Neil Schaefer, they're like, oh, right. I mean, you can't compete with brands. And, you know, to end this off, even when I deal with clients, and I met with a potential marketing partner yesterday, they're like, where do you get your clients? I'm like, you know, a lot of clients come to me, they read my book, they read my blog, they come to my classes at Rutgers, they, you know, they hear me speak. And literally in the contract, they will say, we want Neil Schaefer. We don't want PDCA Social to do the work. We want Neil Schaefer of PDCA Social to do the work. So that's makes it difficult to scale, which is another issue. But that's how far you can go when you leverage that personal brand. And that's why I tell everybody I know, if you have a branded URL, get back to your name. It's a brand that you will never leave. I mean, I always knew I needed it, which is why I got the URL back in 2008. But it'll be the final brand that you'll ever need. And if you do well with another brand, that's awesome. But you know, one of the people I look up to in social media is Jeff Bullis. And he's done a tremendous job. Jeff Bullis, right? Go to LinkedIn, jeffbullis.com. And I've met him, and we've had drinks before, and he's really a genuinely awesome person. But he is sort of, you know, one of the role models I look at who's done really well with that strategy versus people that might have used a brand that might have done better. Because when you speak, they announce your name, they don't announce your brand. And since I do so much speaking business. So, you know, once again, another sort of long-winded answer, because there's a lot of background to it, and you need to do what's best for you. And I, you know, there's no one single right or wrong in any of this, but I'm hoping, understanding the depth of my experience and going through multiple rebrandings, that I will never have to do that again with neilschaefer.com.
Hey, nonfiction branders, did you know I wrote a book? Well, I did, and it's called Rotoma, the ROI of Social Media Top of Mind. I wrote it with my colleague Spencer X. Smith, and it's all about Rotoma, an acronym that means Return on Top of Mind Awareness. Bestselling author and NYU Stern School of Business professor Scott Galloway called it a book that starches the fluff from social media and helps managers allocate capital and find the unicorn among unicorns, ROI. And Chief Content Officer at Marketing Profs, Ann Hanley, said, "This isn't just a practical way to think about the return on social media. It's also a spot-on, accurate way to reframe your social efforts." Check out all the 5-star reviews on Amazon by searching Rotoma, R-O-T-O-M-A. Pick up your copy today and start building your personal, professional, and small business brand the Rotoma way.
Well, you're crystallizing a couple things in my mind that I've been, you know, kind of cogitating on myself. And I remember speaking with a friend of mine who was going out on their own, you know, after agency world, developing their talents and all that stuff, going out on their own. First thing they do is get a logo and a name that means something to them, but doesn't mean anything to anybody else. And they're kind of asking me what I thought about it. And I said, well, the funny thing is, I have no idea what that entity is. And you're going to have to spend a ton of time telling me what that entity is. But if it were you, I would not only know exactly who you are, what you do, and how you do it, but I'd be recommending you as of 2 minutes from now, because I wouldn't have to do any explanations other than this is the person I know, this is what I know they're good for and what they're good at, and why you should call them or talk to them.
Yeah.
I just want to say to listeners, I'm talking to Neil Schaefer, who I just want to prove what you just said, the value of putting your name out there first, because I'm looking at your website and it says, Neil has been recognized as a leader in social media by a number of authorities. Top 10 marketing thought leaders, CMO.com. Forbes top 50 social media power influencer on Forbes magazine, you know, et cetera. And you can go down that list. And I'm guessing they're citing Neil Schaefer, not Neil, an entity named something else.
Yeah, they're not talking about Maximize Social or Maximize Social Biz. You're absolutely right.
Right. So they are saying the person we find valuable out of this entity is a person named this. And I'm just going to tease a couple things. Number one, we're coming close to the end of this first of two episodes. So I'm going to be winding that down. But he already talked about something I really want to touch on in the next episode, which is your book that's coming out all about influencers, but not just influencers, but micro influencers and nano influencers and all the versions of influencers out there, because all of those influencers have something that, frankly, the Nonfiction Brand Podcast is all about. They're personal brands who have developed their presence enough to warrant getting paid by other companies that want to reach their audiences. And it doesn't matter how big those audiences are. And we're going to talk about that in a minute. But first of all, I want to let you, Neil, tell people where they can connect with you. If I wanted to read more about you, what you're doing, the way you're thinking, where would I go?
Maximize your social. No, I'm just joking.
Yeah.
I'm Neil Schaefer everywhere. Only place where I'm not Neil Schaefer is going to be my podcast, which I'm still, the podcast is called Maximize Your Social Influence with Neil Schaefer. I thought that podcasts normally do have sort of a name to them, like a book has a name. So on top of that, I currently have a Facebook group called the Social Media Center of Excellence, which is going to be rebranded Maximize Your Social Influence with Neil Schaefer. But anyway, Neil, if you do a search Neil Schaefer, you'll find me anywhere.
Well, and I think that's an important point. A book has a title, a show has a title, but that show has a host, producer, creator,
yes.
And that host, producer, creator is Neil Schaefer. So you're not hiding behind some logo or anything like that.
Yeah. And I think, you know, like I said, not consuming podcasts and then now listening to them aggressively, you see in those podcast cover photos, they have a name, but they also have a person and they usually have a photo in their icon, right? Which speaks to that. So yeah, I obviously, the blog is where I publish the most content, but I do podcast episodes that don't appear on my blog because I consider podcast a completely separate medium. I don't do show notes and I don't repurpose every podcast into blog content. And then Instagram is where I show a completely different sort of creative lifestyle side of myself as well. So between those three, you're going to get a pretty good picture as to who I am.
Well, and Instagram is where I get to go to know where you actually are, because, and we'll talk about this in the next episode too. This dude is global and in a big way. Let me tell you, fascinating guy, fascinating conversation. And I want to thank you for being on the podcast for this episode. Be sure to tune in next week for the next episode with Neil Schaefer. For the Nonfiction Brand Podcast, I'm DP Knutton, and he is
Neil Schaefer.
Neil Schaefer.
And we'll be talking to you next week. Bye-bye.